Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah, and today we're diving into Kratos Defense and Security Solutions Q1 2026 10Q filing, dated May 6th, 2026. With me is Mike, our defense sector analyst. Mike, I know Kratos isn't a pure aviation play, but they're deeply embedded in the defense aerospace ecosystem. What's your immediate read on this filing?
If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. Kratos is executing a massive capital deployment bet that the U.S. defense recapitalization cycle will sustain at unprecedented funding levels through the decade. Based on this filing, Kratos Defense and Security is operating in mid-cycle expansion. They're past the early recovery phase and aggressively scaling capacity ahead of what they believe will be sustained demand growth.
That's a bold positioning. Let's start with the material changes versus their last filing. What jumped out at you in the numbers?
The revenue story is compelling. $371.0 million in Q1 2026, up $68.4 million from the prior year quarter. That's roughly 23% growth. But here's what's more telling. Their total backlog hit $2.01 billion as of March 29th, 2026, up from $1.508 billion in the prior year. That's a 33% increase in contracted future revenue.
And how does that backlog quality look from a defense contractor perspective?
This is where it gets interesting. Of that $2.011 billion total backlog, $1.457 billion is funded, meaning Congress has actually appropriated the money. That's about 72% funded, which is solid for a defense prime. Management states that 37% of total backlog is expected to convert to revenue in fiscal 2026, with an additional 25% in 2027. If we model this forward, if this conversion rate persists and new bookings slow, they're looking at potential revenue headwinds by 2028 unless they keep winning new contracts.
What about the margin story? Defense contractors live and die by program margins.
Here's where we see some pressure. Gross margin declined slightly to 24.2% from 24.3% in the prior year, but that masks segment-level divergence. The U.S. segment margins actually improved to 17.1% from 15.8%, while the KGS segment margins declined to 26.2% from 26.6%. Cost of revenues increased $52.4 million to $281.4 million, driven by what management calls volume growth and higher labor and material costs.
Let's dig into management's commentary. What signals are you picking up from their tone and language?
Management is simultaneously bullish and cautious. In the MD&A, they state they have record levels of backlog and opportunity pipeline, and believe there is a generational recapitalization of the defense industrial base and weapon systems occurring globally. That's confident language. But they also extensively detail risks around budget uncertainty, government shutdowns, and what they call the challenging appropriations process.
Any specific quotes that caught your attention?
Yes, this one is telling. We believe continued budget and deficit funding pressures, CRAs, future federal government debt ceiling issues, or current and potential federal government shutdowns could have serious negative consequences for the security of our country and the defense industrial base. That's management acknowledging their entire thesis depends on sustained government spending in a fiscally constrained environment.
They also mentioned the Trump administration's impact. What did they say specifically?
Management notes that the Trump administration has executed certain executive orders directly related to significantly changing the current DOW procurement policies and procedures and the federal acquisition regulations. They explicitly state the potential impact of such changes, if affected either by executive orders or changes to the relevant law, to the industry, and to Kratos, is unknown at this time. That's regulatory uncertainty language.
Now, let's talk red flags versus confirmations. What's your balance sheet assessment?
From a liquidity standpoint, this looks robust. They're sitting on $1.46 billion in cash and equivalents against $296.7 million in total debt. That's a net cash position of over $1.1 billion. For context, defense primes typically operate with higher leverage ratios, so this is unusually strong liquidity.
But are there any concerning trends in the cash flow dynamics?
Here's where defense contractor dynamics matter. Management explicitly states they're making significant capital, property, plant, equipment, and other internally funded investments, and have implemented advanced and larger lot purchases of certain materials and parts, which has resulted in an increased use of our working capital. If this working capital consumption persists without proportional revenue conversion, their cash burn could accelerate significantly.
What about the operational red flags they're highlighting?
The labor situation is critical. Management states there's an industry-wide shortage of qualified labor, and the cost of labor has increased significantly. More specifically, they note current challenges in hiring, obtaining, and retaining employees, including those employees requiring national security clearances, is adversely impacting Kratos' ability to execute its business. For a defense contractor scaling production, this is a fundamental execution risk.
Let's move to risk disclosures. Any new risks or escalated language compared to typical defense contractor filings?
The risk factors section leads with changes, cutbacks, or delays in spending by the U.S. Department of War may occur, which could cause delays or cancellations of key government contracts. What's notable is the emphasis on competitor protests. Delays to or the cancellation of our projects as a result of protest actions submitted by our competitors. In the defense world, bid protests can tie up contracts for years.
Any risks specific to their international exposure?
They cite risks related to our international operations and mention expanding manufacturing in Israel specifically. Given current geopolitical tensions, that geographic concentration could create supply chain vulnerabilities. They're also exposed to changes in federal government procurement laws, regulations, policies, and budgets, regulatory risk that's heightened under the new administration.
Now let's examine their liquidity position and balance sheet stress in more detail.
With $1.46 billion in cash against $296.7 million in long-term debt, they have substantial financial flexibility. But here's the key question. How fast are they burning through that cash on these capacity investments? Management lists extensive facility expansions, hypersonic fabrication in Indiana, turbojet engine production in Michigan, turbofan facility in Oklahoma, radar facilities, classified facilities. These are capital-intensive buildouts.
What's the timeline risk on these investments?
Management states that investments related to the company's Prometheus venture with Rafael Advanced Defense Systems, LTD, and the new turbofan production facility in Oklahoma related to our arrangement with GE Aerospace are expected to ramp up in 2026 and 2027. If demand doesn't materialize as expected, they'll have stranded capacity costs hitting margins. The balance sheet can absorb it, but it would pressure returns.
Let's break down the segment level performance. What are the winners and losers?
The KGS segment drove most of the growth. Revenues up $48.9 million versus the US segment up $19.5 million. Product sales increased $36.8 million to $237.0 million, while service revenues grew $31.6 million to $134.0 million. The product sales growth suggests they're scaling manufacturing, not just providing services.
How do the segment margins compare?
Here's the divergence. U.S. segment margins improved to 17.1% from 15.8%. That's 130 basis points of improvement, which is significant for a defense contractor. But KGS margins declined to 26.2% from 26.6%. The KGS segment is their higher margin business, so any erosion there matters for overall profitability. If KGS margins continue declining while they scale the lower margin US segment, overall margins face pressure.
Finally, what should traders and investors be monitoring going forward? What's your counter thesis?
Management provided specific guidance on backlog conversion, 37% in fiscal 2026, 25% in 2027. Watch those conversion rates quarterly. They also highlighted the fiscal 2027 defense request, proposing $1.5 trillion in defense expenditure. That's the key catalyst. If Congress approves anything close to that level, Kratos' capacity investments look prescient.
And what would prove your mid-cycle expansion thesis wrong?
If defense appropriations for fiscal 2027 come in significantly below the $1.5 trillion request, say, flat to 2026 levels, while Kratos' capacity utilization rates drop below 75%, our thesis breaks. Specifically, if their backlog to revenue conversion rates fall below 30% in any quarter while labor costs continue rising, they'd be caught in a margin squeeze with excess capacity. At current cash burn rates on facility expansion, that scenario would force a strategic reset.
How should investors frame the valuation here?
At current margins and this level of capacity investment, this equity trades like a growth stage defense contractor betting on a sustained upcycle, not a mature prime contractor. The balance sheet provides downside protection, but the returns depend entirely on defense spending sustainability at these elevated levels.
Revisiting our core thesis, does the evidence support Kratos executing a massive capital deployment bet on sustained defense recapitalization?
Absolutely. The $1.1 billion net cash position, record backlog levels, and extensive facility investments all confirm they're betting big on a multi-year defense spending cycle. The question isn't whether they're making the bet, it's whether the bet pays off. The funded backlog provides near-term visibility, but the long-term success depends on factors largely outside their control: congressional appropriations, geopolitical tensions, and fiscal policy priorities.
That wraps our analysis of Kratos Defense and Security's Q1 2026 filing. Remember, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. I'm Sarah with Mike, and we'll see you next week on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.
Thanks for listening, and keep watching those defense appropriation bills.